Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. Let us read it together aloud. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It has been a while since I last gave you a sermon, but I would like to return to the book of Ephesians for our study. In our previous two sermons, we learned about fastening the belt of the truth around your waist. We explored how fastening the belt of truth means recognizing that Jesus Christ is the truth, the fact, and the reality, and that we must earnestly long for the grace that will be given to us when he appears again. We learned that if we do not aim our faith and our very lives toward the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and use that as our foundation, we have not truly fastened the belt of truth. This morning, I would like us to consider the next item from the passage, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. As we learned last time, fastening the belt of truth is not, strictly speaking, a weapon for combat. Rather, it is the preparation, the foundation, without which nothing else can begin. The belt's role was to pull up the long, floor-length robes and secure them firmly at the waist so that the soldier could move easily and fight effectively. It was the essential groundwork for putting on armor. Once the belt was tightened, the soldier would finally don his armor. And what is the first thing they put on? It is the breastplate to protect the chest. If the primary role of armor is to protect one's life, the breastplate might be considered the most important piece of all. This is because its greatest function is to protect the heart. Even if a person's arms or legs are injured or even torn off, though the pain would be unspeakable and beyond imagination, as long as the heart is beating, there is a great possibility of survival. However, if the heart is pierced, life is over. Therefore, when it comes to guarding life, the breastplate is arguably the most vital piece of equipment. Naturally, the devil aims for this most important organ, the chest, the heart. He knows that if he pierces the heart, it is a fatal blow. The devil knows that if he strikes our heart, we won't stand a chance. So what constitutes the heart for us as Christians? What is it that, if attacked by the devil, becomes a fatal wound? It is righteousness. Righteousness is our heart. The devil knows that if he can accuse us, questioning whether we have righteousness, whether we are righteous, and pierce us there, he can kill us. He knows that he can drag us into eternal destruction. However, we face a massive problem that is a very simple matter for the devil. Not a single human being possesses righteousness on their own. Devil knows that if he strikes the heart of human righteousness, we will be silenced and killed instantly with a single blow. That is precisely why we need the breastplate of righteousness to protect our lives from the devil's attacks. We have no way to protect our hearts other than putting on the perfect breastplate of righteousness provided by God. We need God's perfect breastplate of righteousness. As we have learned throughout Ephesians, we humans have no righteousness. The righteousness humans conceive is always unfair, arbitrary, and selfish. It seeks to settle matters based on private interests, promoting one's own friends, building one's own power, creating vested interests, and doing whatever one wants. That is the extent of human righteousness. No matter how much we claim I'm right and I'm the one who is righteous, the reality remains, as we have learned in Ephesians, by nature we were all objects of God's wrath, dead in our transgressions and sins. Whether we realized it or not, we walked as children of the devil, full of cursing and bitterness. If left alone, we are sinners who would naturally fall into the punishment of hell along with the devil without needing any effort at all. Let's look at a passage of scripture that speaks directly to this fact. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 20. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away, and they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. We look at people and say, that person is such a good person. But in the end, there is no such thing as a perfectly good person in this world. If someone seems like a good person, it is likely only because they pretend to be one. Or perhaps it is only because they are mindful of rules, laws, customs, common sense. They are simply acting that part of a good person because they care about how others see them. Ecclesiastes says, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. The Psalms also say, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. And people, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. humans can easily become lower than beasts. We possess the potential to commit acts so vile that comparing them to beasts feels like an insult to the animals. If we are not doing such things, it is only because we are mindful of social scrutiny and some form of a brake is being applied. This is why people can be so cruel, merciless, and cowardly in the anonymous world of the internet. There is no righteous person among us. Not even one. There may be people who are good by human standards, but as Romans chapter 3 verse 20 says, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. The problem, as I mentioned before, is that this world is overflowing with so-called righteousness. To be precise, it is overflowing with things that pretend to be righteous, but are not. And the ground zero of this fake righteousness is every single one of us. The current world population is said to be 8.28 billion. Following the word of God, that means there are 8.28 billion versions of pseudo-righteousness pretend to be the real thing. Let's look at several verses from Proverbs that point this out directly. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. The next, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Now, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? It is as if the Bible is saying everyone is a pseudo-righteous person who thinks they alone are right. This might be something you don't want to hear. But it is an undeniable fact. There is no righteousness in humans. There is no righteousness in us. That is why we must put the breastplate of righteousness on our chests. However, we must not misunderstand. It is not our breastplate of righteousness. It is God's breastplate of righteousness. Only God has righteousness, and only God is holy. Now let us look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 16. But the Lord Almighty will be exalted by his justice. And the only God, the holy God, will be proved holy by his righteous acts. Only the holy God is the one who can judge fairly and justly. He alone is righteousness. He alone is holy. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 we looked at says, the way of fools seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Indeed, accepting the advice that the only holy God is righteous is the path of wisdom provided to us. And the breastplate of righteousness that this holy righteous God has prepared for us to wear is Jesus Christ. In other words, it is the righteousness of God given to all who believe in Jesus Christ. So by believing in Jesus Christ, all who believe in him will be given this righteousness of God. Let's return to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the observing of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. In other words, no matter how much good you think you do, or how much you follow rules and ethics to act righteous, the truth is that only a consciousness of sin arises within you. The more you try to do good, the more guilt clings to you, and you cannot wipe away the feeling of hypocrisy. The more you try to do good, the more guilt clings to you, and you cannot wipe away the feeling of hypocrisy. Now let's look at verse 21 of chapter 3 of Romans. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the Lord and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 16 that we looked at, we confirm that only God is righteous and holy. And yet, this God has provided the only way, the only breastplate for humans who are not righteous at all, so that we can be recognized as righteous. That is the righteousness of God given through faith in Jesus Christ. Let me explain this more in detail. Among all creatures, humans alone were created in the image of God. Originally, we were created to possess the attributes of holiness and righteousness. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, the Holy God says directly, "I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." This verse explains why we must pursue holiness. It is because humans were originally holy beings. We were a set-apart existence, distinct from all other creatures. And that's why we must pursue holiness. Because humans were originally holy beings. We are distinct from other creatures. However, humans, using their own free will, suffered a complete defeat at the hands of the devil's heart-piercing temptations and lost the attributes of holiness and righteousness. And that is what is recorded in Genesis. What makes this situation a true curse is that there was no way for humanity to recover these lost attributes of holiness and righteousness. Why? Because God is eternally and perfectly fair and just. He cannot simply show favoritism to a humanity that has become sinful, worthy of being thrown into the darkness of Gehenna and the lake of fire, while ignoring his other creations. He cannot unfairly or unjustly overturn the order of heaven and earth just because he likes us. The fact that God is holy is an attribute so profound we can hardly imagine it. In Hebrew, the word for holy is kadosh. Usually, this word is used only once in a sentence. it is not typically repeated consecutively. And he's so holy, people are not supposed to get close to God, as you can see in the story in Genesis, in the story of Moses. Again, the word kadosh, holy, is typically used once in a sentence. It's not repeated. However, because God's holiness is so incomparable, Isaiah 6 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And Revelation 4:8 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." By repeating it three times, the Bible ignores standard linguistic practice to try and express this incomparable, special holiness of God. Such a holy being could never ignore justice and give unfair special treatment to humanity alone. There was only one thing he could do, was to deny himself in a way. The creator of all things, the one through whom all things in heaven and earth were created. Thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities, the only God who existed before all things, chose to set aside his divinity. He became like a human, but he was not born as a sinful human to be a substitute. He was born as the only human without any sin whatsoever. A sinner cannot be a substitute for another sinner. Only a sinless person can be a substitute. And since such a person did not exist in this world, God himself took the form of a sinless man, denying his own divinity to be born. Though he was sinless and had no reason to feel empty, he emptied himself, humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross, as our substitute. To restore the attribute of holiness to humanity, to once again set us apart as beings possessing the holy nature originally intended for those made in God's image, God himself died on the cross for our sins. This is something that should be impossible. The death of God, an event that flips the universe upside down. He was God denying himself. This was the only unique way, possible only because he is God, for humans to once again be recognized as holy, righteous, and possessing justice. This is the work of salvation by the Savior Jesus Christ, who took human form, was obedient unto death on a cross, and rose again. And this is the absolute only way for a sinner who possesses only a consciousness of sin and no righteousness to be made righteous. Wearing this righteousness of God, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, is the only way to protect ourselves from the devil's heart-piercing attacks. The Apostle Paul accurately and clearly presents this righteousness of God, this work of salvation, in a simple way that anyone can understand. In Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." This is what the Bible calls grace that is given to us. It is the breastplate of righteousness, meant to protect our hearts. Our righteousness is no longer a righteousness based on ourselves. It is the righteousness of God born from accepting and believing that the cross of Jesus Christ was for me. It is an unshakable righteousness. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from this righteousness of God, that is the love of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we cannot give up on ourselves, nor can we judge our neighbors or anyone else. Why? Because it is not my righteousness. It is the righteousness of God given by grace. This means that while no one can negate my existence, I also can no longer judge, deny, or criticize others to feel a sense of superiority, nor can I be tormented by a sense of inferiority. This is why the Apostle Paul tells Christians that there was no need to despair, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. At the same time, he admonishes us to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, and not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of the others. Which is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Even so, the devil does not give up. He continues to attack us. The devil tries to pierce our hearts. He tirelessly tempts us to replace the righteousness of Jesus Christ with our own righteousness and our own justice, trying to make that our breastplate. Make that our breastplate. The moment we put on our own righteousness, he watches for the chance to pierce our heart. Not just for Christians, but for all people, the most frequent fatal attack is to trying to build one's faith and life upon one's own righteousness. When we build our faith and our affairs upon my own righteousness, my knowledge, the devil pierces our heart. Then two specific symptoms appear that make us spiritually dead: pride and despair. Pride and despair. When you rely on yourself and try to build faith on your own righteousness, you begin to judge those you perceive as lesser, those with less ability, experience, knowledge, or years. Conversely, when you see someone who seems better than you, you fall into frustration and despair. In both of these issues, we must always put the cross first. The cross of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God through the cross of Jesus Christ. When we put that first, we cannot judge, we cannot fall into despair or frustration. Whether we're judging others or giving up on ourselves, both acts are a way of ignoring God. The devil aims right there, looking to kill us instantly. Every day, we face a devil who attacks us, trying to make us ground our faith in ourselves, even though we must never do so. The devil persistently manipulates and stimulates our pride and our despair. That is exactly why we must put on God's breastplate of righteousness. Our daily battle should not be a mindset of, I am not like that person. I am different from them. Rather, we are called to ask ourselves daily, am I fighting the battle to offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God? Am I seeking to discern what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will? I believe that this very act is what it means to keep the breastplate of the righteousness of Jesus Christ on our chests. Let us pray.